I'm glad all of you are here this evening in this wonderful day that we have been given by the Lord to serve Him. And we're thankful that we have a place to dry to worship the Lord and to get out of the weather and pray for the young kids as they're coming over now. Hopefully the rain doesn't get them too bad. I think Brother Victor's taking the, here they come. He was going to take the bus over and bring them over. They're going to be gathering up their coins without no music. That'll be fine while they're coming. And we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Here's Samara. Well, amen. Thank you, kids, for that. That's a blessing to see you doing that. This here, up here, is not a show and tell. This is the kind of things that Brother Scott, Brother Bill would need for the Soldier of the Cross meeting. What they do is if a youth group does something during that time together, they award them the whole youth group. They'll give this to the youth director. And then he'll divide it as he goes there. So if you would see any of these at the store, something like this, doesn't have to be exactly these, but something like this at the store, and you'd like to get it and donate it for the Soldier of the Cross meeting, that'd be a blessing. If you'd do that, if you want to, and you're able, just some different types of candies that they can give out as prizes for maybe they do a sword drill and that particular group wins it. They'll give it, give them some candy out just as a small gift. If you'll help Brother Bill with that and Brother Scott, that'd be a blessing there. So that's on the, we're running down the time. 3 more weeks, is that right? 3 more weeks. We got a lot of going on in May. We got a fundraiser ice cream social Sunday evening. We'll be eating all kind of ice creams. The good thing about, though, this ice cream here, it melts away, so you don't have to worry about calories. It'll be gone. Just go ahead and eat as much as you want because it's going to a good cause. And then the next week, the ladies have their banquet, Mother Day banquet. And, of course, that'll be here at the church on that Saturday. But you'll have to do a lot of decorating between Wednesday and that Saturday. And then right after that, we have to change over and get ready for the Soldier of the Cross, because I don't think that you want your tea party stuff there with 300 teenagers running around here. So we'll have to change that out and go back to that. So we got a lot going on in May. So if you would, be in prayer for May. And if you're handy and you're available to pitch in and throw a hand in and be able to help us get those things cared for during those times, that'd be a blessing. It really would. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to read down to verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. You know, I'm telling you, the message of God's Word is the most important message in the world. The message of God's Word is the most important message in the world. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible is God's message. It's the message to us. It's what He sent to us. And we ought to cherish every reading that we get, enjoy it and spend time in it, and understanding that it is God's Word directly to me, directly to you. And it's His writings there. And I'm going to tell you, it is a precious thing to have a love letter from God. Don't take it for granted. I know that sometimes in America we get so used to Bible, when we can have it on audio, CD, cell phones, read the Bible to us. And the other day I saw there was an MP3 player in the shape of an ink pen that had the Bible on it. Boy, a wonderful technology. Technology is wonderful. But nothing can take place of you actually holding the Word of God and your eyes reading it and feasting on the Word of God and enjoying that time together there with God and you and the Word of God. Well, let me tell you something. By what means we can know the Word of God is found right here in this chapter. How we can understand it, how we get understanding, what it is, what it does. And Paul makes a tremendous proclamation and demonstration of the Word of God in these first few verses of chapter number 2. And then next week we'll be looking at how the Spirit illuminates and brings a special touch and anointing onto the Word of God that we may understand it as we walk in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now you have to understand something. The city of Corinth, dear friend, was a mixture of people. I mean, it was a port city. They had several ports there. People come from different places to live there. There was a mixing of philosophy and human wisdom and a little bit of God's Word, all mixed in together, dear friend. And I'm telling you what, it created nothing but confusion. That's what it created. It created confusion, and I'm afraid to tell you that there's a lot of that happening in our churches today. We mix in some philosophy, and we mix in a little bit of human wisdom, and we'll sprinkle a little bit of God's Word on it. Well, I'm telling you, dear friend, we need a healthy portion and dose of the Word of God. very little of man's wisdom and a whole lot less of philosophy sprinkled upon the preaching of our word, of the Word of God. I'm telling you, we don't. God, listen, God is not, dear friend, a author of confusion. Not at all. That's why He's given us the Word of God. That's why He's allowed us to be able to hide it in our hearts and in our minds. We're able to study it. We're able to follow it. We're able to heed to it. We're even able to, Brother Victor, if we desire, to disobey it. And we do sometimes. You know, we get into a tangent. We're running in life, and we're busy doing seemingly good stuff, but we stop. We don't stand still enough to allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us if we're not careful. And that's being disobedient to the Word of God, because the Bible says, you that have a spirit, ear, hear what the Spirit saith. And I'm telling you, it's very important. You understand, Paul had just left Athens. What was in Athens? Up there on top of Mars Hill. When we went through the book of Acts, what was it Athens? There was all kind of poets, philosophers, Epicureans, Stoics, and all they did was care to hear and to tell some new thing. Paul had spent some time up there in Athens and trying to preach the Word of God and seeing, trying to see people saved, trying to plant a church there in the city of Athens. It didn't work. He saw some folks saved. And he's come down now to the city of Corinth. He's there in the city of Corinth. And he says there in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, verse number 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." Hey, he was just in Athens. All kind of wisdom, all kind of... Hey, the Jews seek for a sign. What did the Greeks seek for? Wisdom. That's what the Scripture says. The Bible says that there. But I'm tell you what, Paul said, "Hey, I'm not going to fool with that. This is what I want to tell you." Back up, hold your place there, and go look over at Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20, in verse number 21. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 21. This is the message that Paul spoke and preached and stuck with, and he stayed with it. And I'm telling you, dear friend, it worked. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 21. Paul said there, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, "Listen, I didn't come with you enticing words. I didn't have a speech that I had written down, that I'd laid out and had rehashed and got it where it was just wonderfully flowing off of my lips." He said, "Listen, declaring unto you the testimony of God." And that was what Paul went and stayed with and stuck with. And that is what made a difference in the lives of these people in Corinth and other places where he went. He had came there to declare a message, and that message was this: Jesus saves. Turn to God in repentance and justify God, because God is right and what He has said is to be true. And He said, this is what that is important. Not the signs, not the wisdom that the Greeks seek and the Jews seeking the signs. What's important is, and he said in verse 2, "I've determined to know not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So Paul stood up and he said, "I declare unto you, I make this proclamation, dear friend. Hey, it's not in my wisdom. It's not in the speeches." And he proclaimed it. He was determined in verse 2 to know nothing but that Jesus Christ saves. And that's where we need to stick. We need to be very careful, dear friend, in everything that we do, that we keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm telling you, if souls being saved is the main thing, then why did Jesus Christ leave heaven's glory to come to this earth, to live upon this earth, to minister to sin-filled souls who needed a Savior, and go to the cross of Calvary and
finished the work there on the cross, give up his life, raise again the third day, and lives forevermore, and saves to the uttermost, if that's not the main thing, dear friend, you have to tell me what is. That's what it's all about. Seeing souls saved, adding to the family of God, discipling them and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to plant them inside a local New Testament church that they in turn may reproduce themselves with souls saved. Right, dear friend, everything we do, from our Sunday school class, our discovery class, our zone, youth zone, to our vacation Bible school, yes, even to the singing of the hymns, we need to be careful that we stick to declaring and determining ourselves that we're going to know Christ Jesus and Him alone. Because nothing else is going to help. Nothing else is going to help, dear friend. Well, preacher, we've been preaching Jesus since for 2,000 years, and you know people are getting tired of hearing Jesus. They're trying to ban His name. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you, the tiredness of hearing His name and the tiredness of Jesus is natural. It's the natural man. It's the lost man. Of course, they don't understand it. That's what this chapter declares to us. But woe unto us who've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we tire at the preaching of the Word of God. Woe unto us when we'd rather have a joke told, some hocus pocus ghost story told, instead of John 3:16 read and preached again. Woe unto us, the church members and the members of other churches, and that we would rather hear something else than an expository message on a portion of Scripture that may reach down and teach us something. Hey, the natural man, they're going to tire of it. Why? Because they're alienated from God. They are opposed to themselves. Verse 3. Let me say this in verse 2. Paul was so consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he concentrated on the message. I'm going to tell you, sometimes, dear friend, if we're not careful, we can consecrate ourselves so much. We can set ourselves so much aside and so much apart from the wickedness of this world that we are not even touched by those that are on their way to the devil's hell. There's no even compassion anymore if we're not careful. Paul was consecrated unto the Lord, but he concentrated on the message of Christ. And dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't save us to be monks and eunuchs and to hide off into a closet. He said, "You're light of this world. You're the salt of this world. Will you take a little light and like a city, would you hide it? No, you'll put it up on a hill that it might be seen." Hey, dear friend, I'm tell you something. We don't need to be like the Galatians over there. And Paul had to say this. He said, "Who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Hey, he said, "Hey, you did run well. What's hindered you?" I'm going to tell you what hinders. When we start stepping away from the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, be careful, dear friend, when you'd rather hear the hymns, even the hymns sung, before you want preaching. Well, I just wish we'd just sing a little bit more. We just need to sing a little bit. Preacher needs to cut back on it and not preach as long. We need more singing. Hey, be careful. Listen, dear friend, be careful when the first thing you want to do is to turn on the radio and hear even Christian music. And you'd rather hear Christian music than read the Word of God. Hey, we have to have hymns, spiritual songs. They're needful. They have their place. They help us. Put a song in your heart and sing it. Hey, sing to the Lord. But do not let it take the place of the Word of God. Not at all. Paul said, listen, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why was that so important? I'm going to tell you why it was so important. The cross of Calvary, dear friend, reveals to man what he really is. The cross of Calvary, dear friend, reveals to us exactly who God is. That God would love us so much that He would send His only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary that He might save you and our soul. The cross reveals to us exactly who we are. It reveals to us who God is. The cross of Calvary reveals to us what sin is. It was our sin that put Christ on the cross. Hey, dear friend, it reveals to us what salvation is. And that's why Paul said, let's keep the cross the forefront of the message, Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Oh, dear friend, I'm telling you, never tire of the message of the cross. Never. Verse 3, 4, and 5, if you look there, verse 3, Paul's talking about his preaching. Look at verse 1. He's talking about his preaching. That was his declaration. Then he was determined that his message would be the cross of Calvary and Christ saves and Jesus saves. That was the message. Look at how much reverence there is in verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Hey, that's what the Word of God should do to us, dear friend. Hey, it's an awesome thing. Listen, Tony, it's an awesome thing to be able to hide Scripture in your heart and in your mind. And it's a humbling thing, Romans, to be able to share those Scriptures with someone else. And you ought to stand in reverent fear when you are sharing the Word of God. Paul said, look, I didn't come with you in wisdom. I didn't come with you in enticing words. I was determined to preach the cross of Christ and Him crucified. And in so doing, I was in weakness and I was in fear and much trembling. Why should I be in fear and much trembling, dear friend? Because let me tell you something. While you're dealing with that lost person, what you say and what you do not say may determine the choice that he makes or she makes. Wouldn't it be a sad state of affair that you did not present Christ as He should? Paul said, I stood in trembling. I stood in weakness. Why would he say that? When we are weak, who's strong? See, we can get so wrapped up in this here thing of knowing the Scripture that it's all about what we know and not who we know. You better be careful. Paul said, in weakness and trembling and in fear. In verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If we continue to proclaim the Word of God, dear friend, it brings a demonstration into our life. We proclaim it, we live it, it becomes us. And we demonstrate that by how we live. We are no longer just hearers of the Word of God, but we become doers. That's what Jesus did. Acts chapter 1, what He began to both do and teach. It's more than just words. Paul said, listen, determine in yourself to proclaim and declare Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and it becomes you. It is you. It is your life. It's not just an option. One day I'll be a Christian. One day I won't. One day I'll be a soul winner. One day I won't. It becomes you. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Sometimes, dear friend, we can start talking with folks and I don't know who we're trying to impress. Be careful who you're trying to impress. The message of Christ is so simple that we do not have to deep dig into the depths of the mysteries of the Word of God. And you know, sometimes I have been talking with folks and they themselves will try to steer the message to who did Cain marry? They're lost and on their way to the devil's hell. It doesn't matter if who Cain married at that point. What simply needs to be focused on is where they're going to spend eternity and who they're going to spend it with. Paul said, "I'm not going to entice you." You know, if we're not careful, we are caught up in that and we are led into that conversation by pride. Well, I'll just show him or her exactly who Cain married. And they'll think, "I know my Bible." And we'll go into an archaeological debate. Be careful. Be careful. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Peter's writing here and he begins to tell us in verse 16 about his experience. That he had on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here it goes here. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. But were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Verse 18. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." Peter said, "Listen, I was there. I heard the voice of God. I heard Him speak and I heard Him say, 'This is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased,' the excellence of glory. I didn't come with you with this fable or this story. I came with you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, that was a story. I don't know about you. If I'd have been on Mount Transfiguration, that'd been something I wanted to talk about. But Peter understood that experience was not going to get them to heaven. What was going to get them to heaven was the message of Christ. What was the whole purpose in Paul declaring of this and helping us to see this, the importance of this? The whole purpose was found in verse 5. Back over in verse 5, back over in our text. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know what happens if we're not careful, especially as preachers? We present our education, We present our human knowledge and our worldly knowledge, and if we're not careful, we do not lift up and put forth Christ, and then it's all about following my faith. And my faith, dear friend, listen, follow it as long as I'm following Christ. But if we're not careful, we'll follow men. And Paul said, listen, this is the reason that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know what it would say? If we're not careful, listen, I don't know how to help you, but I know that my preacher has the exact words that will help you. Be careful. You have the same Holy Spirit of God that I do. You have an unction from on high that I have. Just because I accepted calling upon God in my life and I became and I surrendered to the work of the ministry and I stand in the office of pastor, dear friend, I don't have an extra anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, an extra portion. You have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that you walk with God and that you spend time with God, and it is your responsibility to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, sometimes you've talked and talked and talked and you've done what you've can. You say, look, I've tried to help you. Perhaps that my pastor could or another person in the church could help you. Hey, that's quite all right. But be careful like passing them off like hot potatoes. Uh-oh, they're going to ask me a religious question. I better give it to somebody else. Oh no, dear friend, we need to know enough Bible that we need to have a conversation with somebody that we can at least generate some curiosity about eternity. We really do. Paul said our faith should have a firm foundation. What firm? Not in the wisdom of men, but in the wisdom of God and His power. That's where our faith should stand. Our faith should not be in a religious organization or a periodical, a television ministry. Our faith should be founded upon the Word of God and upon God Himself. And just be careful. All I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is be careful with worldly wisdom. Because I'm going to tell you, if we desire wisdom, true wisdom, as we'll look next week, it is found by walking in the Spirit of God. That's where we get true wisdom. As you read on, and I encourage you this week, read the rest of this chapter. Read the rest of it. Look like, for instance, I'm going to close with this, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hey, dear friend, God has given you a treasure. When He saved you, He sealed you with His own, with His Spirit. And you have a treasure within your earthen vessel that can illuminate your mind and teach you the Word of God. Use your relationship properly. Don't just know about it. Experience walking in the Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear friend, if you've gotten caught up on reading books and just taking the word of men and not comparing it with Scripture and the scriptural foundation, I would encourage you tonight and say, Lord, come here and say, Lord, give me a hunger and a thirst for Your Word. Teach me
your word. What page, brother?